Welcome to Relevant Live with Pastor Chris Sarno, a weekly podcast from Relevant Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. We pray this message helps you connect to God as you find your place, reveal your purpose, and unlock your potential. Let's head live to Pastor Chris for today's powerful message.
Tonight I want to talk to you. You can start that thing. That's great. Tonight I want to talk to you about Good Friday, and I really want to talk to you about what this means. And I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. We're going to read it in the King James. Will be great, and then we'll read it in the Passion. But what is good about Good Friday? For me and you, the blessing has forever been enforced because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That's why it's good. Look what it says in Galatians 3:13. And I like this because in Galatians 3:13, what he's saying is this. He says, Christ redeems us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, this is the key. This is what happened. So if you want to go from the cross to the throne, we can go from the whole triumphal entry. But I just want to talk to you specifically about the power of redemption. We have to understand what that is. We have to walk in the revelation of that. And we have to absorb. Now, let me explain to you. You have to absorb this in your spirit, not just in your mind. Natural intellect with this stuff isn't, it's gonna reject. You got to kind of renew it over time, slowly but surely, because redemption is ginormous. Like, think about that offering we just took, right? He on that cross was rich, switched out rich, became poor, and then what? Pushed you right through that thing, ripped you out of darkness, put you in a marvelous light, and now he's what? Made you prosperous like he was. Well, how in the heaven am I going to get that in a day? Got to reprogram your mind. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Chris? 3 weeks from now, when you got a bill and you don't know how you're going to pay it, you're going to be like, oh God, what am I going to do? You got to reprogram your head. Wait a minute, I'm blessed. Now, I'm going to give it to you slow, but this is what you say to yourself. This is why. Or, oh my God, how are we going to do that? Don't worry, God's got it. Oh, the doctor report. He exchanged it on the cross. He became sick. So you become well. He became the curse, so you become the blessed. It's all in there. So the next time you're like, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have to believe God by faith. You're going to start using these principles. So look at this. Just let's go slow. We're going to get this. I want to explain redemption, okay? Christ redeemed us from the what? Curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. That what? The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. We have received the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, just go back to 13 real quick. Christ, what? He redeemed us. What is redemption? Okay? And then we can read it. If you could put it into Passion, that'll be cool too. 13 and 14, that'll be great while I'm finding this thing. The Greek word for redeem means this. It is a term referred to the process of purchasing a slave's freedom. When a slave was redeemed, he or she was no longer bound to the rules and expectation of a slave's life. So to be redeemed from the curse of the law means to be set free from its rules and regulations. In other words, those who are redeemed from the curse of the law no longer are required to observe the law's commands as the Israelites were. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law through his sacrificial work on the cross. He purchased our freedom from it all. Okay? Now, read it in the Passion because it just reads a little bit kind of like, I don't know, just adds it. Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse. Now, the curse is Deuteronomy 28. Now, in the Old Testament, there was two hills. There was the hill of the blessing. There's like a mountain. And the mountain of the curse. So what they literally did was they sat there and said, hey, here's the curse. If you do this, this is the curse. And if you do this, this is the blessing. And it basically was what? You were bound by it. Jesus came and what? He undid the curse. So let's just read this. And it says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of law. He absorbed it completely as what? He became a curse in our place. That curse went into his body. That sick went into his body. that broke went into his body. That mental disconnect that we could all go through, everything you and I were ever going to face on this earth, he absorbed it in his own being. So what? You could absorb him in yours. It was an exchange. Now, the church, we're a little bit behind, not us per se, but we're a little bit behind the revelation of what we've been made, and we have to renew our mind to what we've been made in Christ Jesus. This is why the in him realities of who you are so important, because just because we know it, see, there's two words. There's knowledge of something, and then there's the another kind of knowledge. Epinosis means you have a revelation of it. It's a different kind of knowledge. It's not just mental assent or agreement. It's revelation knowledge. Let me tell you something. Listen, the curse is progressional, but so is revelation. That means you constantly have to be renewing your mind. You can't stop renewing your mind. Oh, I did that. I heard that. Give me a break. I'll tell you who was the worst at that, because he was the best, was Kenneth Hagin. It was like every day he was reading Mark 11, 23 and 24. It was like kind of like, you know, when you go there, you know, I was kidding about being the worst, but he didn't, you think he cared? You heard that 400 times? He could care less. He knew faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He'd sit there and quote it and just tell you how to believe. And I was sitting there going, how many times are you going to tell us this? 5,000 times. And he didn't care less. He'd tell you again. He had a whole seminar on two scriptures. We go to Winter Bible Seminar, he'd add other ones, but he'd be like, open your Bibles, Ephesians 6, and he'd go right there and go right there, and we're having Winter Bible Seminar, 8,000 people with two scriptures. He wasn't backing up on the word. So you got to become word-based. So look what it says here, and you're going to love this, okay? He paid it, he absorbed it. What? For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. That's strong, ain't it? Took it on him. Look at the next verse. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place. Man, now you can't read that. You got to meditate it. You guys are doing good. You're smart. But when you hear that, that's a great way to look at it. Oh, wait a minute. He was cursed in my place. Well, what do you mean? Where do you think the curse came from? Go slow. Adam, now this is where it's not fair, and this is where Jesus fixed it. Adam sins, right? Y'all know this. And sin came into the world because of Adam's transgression. I wasn't there. I didn't do anything. But we were all penalized because of Adam's high treason. Right? But guess what? I wasn't there when Jesus hung on the cross. But he what? You understand? By the connection with mankind, Adam, when he messed up, we all went down. Well, when Jesus fixed it, we all went up. If I was, see the mentality, if I was, and you, me and you were going to get penalized for what Adam did because we were in Adam, creation of mankind, why should we not take the blessing because now we're in Jesus? Now you got to renew your mind to what did I get? Check this out. He said what? He said, okay, you what? Jesus, the Messiah, was cursed in our place, and so doing, he dissolved the curse from our lives so that all the blessings of Abraham could be poured out upon even non-Jewish believers. And now God gives us the promise of a wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us and when we believe in who? Him. You see it? So Adam, okay, remember Adam, Eve, the whole deal, eat the tree. Some of you are new at this. It's okay, right? What was the story? Disobedience. Get out of the garden. You can't stay. You got to go. Oh, great. Now what? Thorns and thistle. The curse is in the earth. What's that mean? No, by the sweat of your brow. Not by anywhere else. You're not going to prosper. Oh, this is great. How do we do this? We try to make it. And then what? We need a redemption plan. Jesus came to redeem. Somebody had to pay the price. So much so, God Almighty came back in the form of Jesus Christ to pay the ransom and redeem me and you so we could have everlasting life. Doesn't get no better than that. But now what do I have to do? I have to understand it's the substitution. The incarnate Christ paid the price. Now I got to reprogram my mind for the rest of my life, what I've been made in Christ Jesus, because you think you're in you, but you ain't in you, you're in Christ. You ever ask yourself why we got to be in Christ? I ask the oddest questions. I get the answers, though, so praise the Lord. You want to know how awesome God is? God loves you. If you could see what I'm going to say right here, because I guarantee you never heard this day in your life. That's not being goofy. That's just telling you. If you see what I'm telling you in the next 2 minutes, it'll mess your life up forever in a good way. God loves you so much that he sent himself in the form of Jesus Christ and purchased you back, bless you, purchased you back through him and trapped everything and left everything in Christ. You want to know why? So we can never mess it up again. And the way me and you become a partaker of it, we get a revelation that we're not in us anymore. We're in him. Until you get that identification, you're going to do without everything he wants you to have. Because you don't really get it in yourself. You get it only in him. Because it's in him, because God knows if it's in him, it's safe. Because the last time he left it in you, we destroyed the world. So he's never going to do it again the way he did it the first time because he's smart. So the second time around, he left everything in Jesus. So everything you need is in him. And as long as you could stay in him, you could have everything he is. Because you ain't in you no more. You ever notice how everything in the Bible never talks about you, talks about you being in him? Why? Because you have no identity on your own. Why are you fighting to have your own identity? Why do you think this attack in the earth now is so strong for everybody trying to fight for an identity? Because the devil's hell-bent on making sure people never really find their true identity. It's in Christ. So what it is you're going to see it. So what do you do? Stay in him. What did him mean? Stay in that blessing. Now, go slow with this because you got to see this. Look over here. Go to Ephesians 1:7. Let's do the passion. I like it. We have redemption from sin. We have redemption from judgment. Sin ain't going to lord over us no more. This is good stuff. So just write these scriptures down. We'll see this. It'll kind of like Ephesians 1:7. Since you are now joined to Christ, we were given what? The treasures of redemption by his blood. That the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. Look at verse 18. The superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. Now, what was the big three redemption? Victory over poverty, victory over spiritual death, that's going to heaven and hell, and victory what? Over what? You're going to prosper. You're reading Deuteronomy 28. We'll go there in a minute if you want. He starts explaining the blessing and the curse. Well, let me ask you a question. See, here's the reason why you got to follow the system of the kingdom, because the earth is cursed. And the only way to live outside of that cursed earth is to what? Enforce the kingdom of heaven in earth through obedience in the blessing. So if you say, well, you know, I'm gonna just do it the way I want to do it. You're gonna partake of that mess out there, and you ain't got no part with that place. That was never designed for you. And I got news for you. You get a real revelation, his blessing, and you start staying our series about being an heir, you're gonna realize God made the earth in the fullness thereof for you. Everything out there, God made for you. But guess what? When man lost it all, the enemy came and stole it all. Guess what you got to do? You got to tell that thief. This is why dominion, this is why sonship authority is one of the most important biblical understandings we can get. Because sonship authority enforces a what? Believer's authority. And the believer's authority is the sonship, right? I'm the son. You better start. Let me tell you something in this church. I got you guys on a Friday night and you faith people, because God knows you wouldn't be here on a Friday night if you weren't down. So I'm going to be just flat real with you. Okay? You ain't telling the devil enough. You don't talk enough to that joker. He's your only problem. God is not your problem. You better cut this out. God's trying to teach me. God ain't teaching you jack. I love you. Like, maybe God doesn't want me to have all that right now because I can't handle it. God hung up on a cross, so you got so much stupid stuff, you ain't got no room for it, you give it away. God was ready to give you the world, man. Cut this out. He didn't go up on no cross, and it ain't just about stuff. He wants you to go, you want to watch you? Run around, go get a bunch of people healed. Go lay hands on everybody. Well, maybe God don't want, lay hands on all of them. Lay hands on all them jokers. Tell them all. God wants you well. Well, maybe they were messed up. Who cares? God don't care about that. He came to set people free. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they had somebody, I don't know, somebody was messed up. They had, you know, oh, can we bring the messed up people to church? My God in heaven, there should be a room full of messed up people in here. Bring them here half out of their mind. What do I care? You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to put God on display for mankind. But you understand where we're going with this? Are you, you know, I know you guys are getting this, but you see what I'm saying? Like, well, you know, what do we do, right? When things don't, well, maybe, well, I don't know why the Lord. I don't know why the Lord doesn't do, the Lord can't do jack about it. Did you hear what I just said? You got authority. It's your authority. You do something about it. I told you that Brother Hagin story 100 times. I thought he was, I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, well, the guy fell in the thing and he went over there and, you know, he was learning about authority and he yakety yak yak and the devil kept getting in the way and he told the story. He's legit. I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I had an open vision. You know, I'm sitting there and he starts telling the story how God taught him. I said, okay, let's pay attention. He said he was having this open vision. And a lot of these guys like had open visions because we didn't have the biblical knowledge back then. I mean, they were getting this stuff hot off the press, you know? Stuff like this, like T.L. Osborne, he saw angels and they sang to him and did all this. And he was like, he got changed. The world. Guy changed the world, man. He's getting deaf people healed and blind people healed. Guy's one of the greatest evangelists ever walked the face of the earth. But they had just experiences that were different. So I just said, all right, Ken Hagin, go ahead. He said, Jesus showed up. I'm like, well, Jesus never showed up in my house. So let's praise God to hear your story about it. You know, one time I asked Brother Norval, I said, you ever see Jesus? He said, yeah, I went to heaven. I said, you went to heaven? I said, what was it like? He said, I picked a pear off a tree. He said he had open vision of heaven. Brother Norval told me the story. I told you this. He said he was walking around and he said, I went to heaven. I seen Jesus. I said, did you really? He said, yeah. I go. He goes, yeah, I did, you silly. And I was like, well, I said, what happened? I said, did you see stuff? He goes, no, all I remember was walking around and I picked a pear off a tree. And the minute I picked it off, it went a full-size pear popped back in. He said, I picked it and it popped the brand new one right there. I said, that must have been cool. I said, you see anything else? And he told me a little bit of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Went to heaven. I was like, did Jesus tell you I'm going to be there? No, I was kidding. I used to play around with him. But, you know, it was fun. But I was like, all right, I never went to heaven. So Ken Hagin, here's Ken Hagin. He's like, I'm having an open heaven. Jesus is talking to me. And here comes this little thing. And in between, and Jesus was talking to him right straight ahead. He said, Jesus was explaining to him, telling him stuff. And he said, this little figure kind of like thing got in between. And while Jesus was explaining how to have biblical authority, he said this little thing started getting in the way, like right in between the yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak. And he said, I can't hear what Jesus is saying. Well, the thing, shut up. He was sitting there. He said, I don't know why God doesn't do this. Why don't you do something about this? And he said he got frustrated because here he was just trying to yakety yak yak yak. And all of a sudden, he just got fed up. He said, I bind you in the name of Jesus or something like that. Thing hit the ground and thing went running. And he said, well, Jesus, why didn't you do something about it? He said, I can't. He said, you got to do something about it. He said, you got to be kidding me. Gave him like 4 or 5 scriptures. Brother Hagin was happy and it was good. We're not preaching about Brother Hagin. We're preaching about the Lord. We're learning something here. Well, let me ask you a question. If God be for me, who in the world could be against me? So you want to know why things are wacko. It ain't because Jesus is teaching you something. If the money's getting tight, it ain't because Jesus is teaching you something. If the doctor report comes back whacked out, it isn't because Jesus is teaching you nothing. You got one enemy. He's out there. He's real. You gotta take authority over this joker. And you're over there talking about it, talking lack, talking sick, talking this, talking that. You better start talking to the devil and say, look, bro, I got power and authority. Well, let me ask you a question. If Jesus redeemed you from the curse, if you start seeing the curse show up, you should start getting mad. Well, he redeemed me from the curse that he put on his body to die for me. But he wants me to work some of it out in the earth till I figure it out. What kind of goofy God would that be? He ain't goofy. You know what I'm saying? No, if it looks like the curse, don't take it. And start bossing the enemy around. You start getting crazy thoughts in your head, You start telling your head, shut up, stop thinking that. You're not allowed to think that. I got authority over this body. It's my body. It's not your body. This body don't belong to you. It belongs to me. You start getting ideas like, you know, you feel like, oh man, I don't know. No, 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 no. Where'd that come from? Who told you that? You know what I mean? I've been there, you know, sometimes doctor tells you, you got this. You know, somebody, where was I the other day? Somebody had, oh, I know it is, the guy in the church. He got a bad, it's a bad report. I said, well, you know what? Don't worry about it, Nate. Jesus' name's bigger than the bad report. I know. Did he only take some sickness on the cross? No, he took all of it. Did he take some of this stuff on the cross? Let me tell you, he became sin. That's every sickness, every disease, every single thing we could ever go through. He took on him. He absorbed it. Why? Well, I ain't taking it if he took it. But I'll tell you something the devil do. He'll try to say, oh, that's yours. And you're over there taking it like, oh, I guess I got to do something. I ain't got to do nothing. Return that junk to sender. I'm not believing that. I'm not receiving that. I'm not accepting that. I'm not going down with that. I'm not going to be no part of that. Why? It ain't part of the benefit package. Didn't come from heaven. It ain't mine. You see what I'm saying? This is redemption. This is what we're learning. This is what we understand. This is why it's Good Friday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. Redemption. So you got to understand this. Sin shall not have any kind of lordship over you anymore because we've entered into a new realm through the new birth. You got that? But you know what that means? You got to reprogram your mind to this stuff. Because when it shows up, what do? We act like normal people, right? Yeah, we act too normal. Too normal. You got to start. I'm telling you right now, every day, if you ain't talking to the enemy, you better up your game. Every day. I bind that out loud. I bind that. I don't care. You walking around the house and something goofy comes in your head. Say it out loud. Everybody in your house understands you're a spiritual person, but they ain't going to get weird with you. I walk around all the time. Bind that. What were you thinking? I ain't telling you. You know what I'm saying? I walk around just, you got to boss that enemy around. Now I take your hands off my stuff. Tell him, you got to tell him. You should see, every Sunday when we take offering, you know how many times I tell people, claim it, name it, do their part, you know how many do it? 25%, you guys. People looking at me like, hey, do what you want to do, bro. Guess what, though? If you ain't got it, don't complain about it. I just showed you how to do it. I want to go to normal church. I just want to go in those normal churches where they leave the bucket in the back and nobody bugs me. All right, God bless you. I want to go to normal church. I don't want to be talking to no devil, all this stuff. This guy's wearing me out, man. He's up there talking about speaking to the devil. God almighty, man. Can't we just go back to being Methodist? Help me, Jesus. Oh, your Methodist days are over, glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless the Methodist. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be a buster, but I'm giving you principles of the new life and the new birth, and you're over here looking at me like, well, what do I got to do it? Yeah. You got to up the talking. I bind that. When the kids' lives don't look like they're lined up, you over there, now what? Bind that mess. Break the power of the devil. You ain't got to tell them. Smile and wave. Bind that. Listen, man. Well, how long is it going to take? Who cares? I'm going to get results. You got to start speaking this stuff and enforcing this dominion. Because the blessed, look at Deuteronomy, you want to see it? Let's go here. Because this stuff will get you, man. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessed. I'm not going to keep you all night. I got like 15 minutes, okay? So this is like a refresher. Then we'll take communion, right? Look at Deuteronomy 28. King James is great. We start with verse 1, okay? He starts talking about this covenant. Wow, right? This is big stuff. And I like it because you know what he does, starts doing in Deuteronomy 28? He said, and it shall come to pass. Look at this, right? It shall come to pass. Now everybody say, if. Say there's always some. If. It'll come to pass if you do this. See the if? Contingency. If you. If you what? If you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. What happens if you don't listen to the word? I guess if ain't going to happen for you. You know what I'm saying? This ain't rocket science, though. This is pretty simple. You know, you guys are sharp. Okay. The voice of the Lord is the word of God. Okay. To observe and do, give it the best you can, all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you what? high above all the nations of the earth. You're like, dude, I'm just trying to pay the electric bill, bro. I don't know about the high above the earth business. No, wait a minute, wait a minute. We've been here before. Who was high above the earth idea? That's God. Look, man, don't get mad at me. That's where he wants to put you. Take it. Some people taking it. I'm supposed to be high above the earth. Why am I worried about this little nonsense? I'm telling you, man, you get a revelation of the blessing. The blessing is your birthright. Write that down. You were born into a royal family. It's your birthright. I ain't in me. You know how everybody likes all that family business? You know, we're going to Italy and all that stuff. We're going to Italy, you know. I went to Italy one time. I had a layover, and I didn't go anywhere. I told you, I went to the town, you know, that I went in there, and they told me, oh, Sarno, there's a town in Italy. Got my name on it. I said, that's cool. You can find it. It's by Naples. I told Lauren, go there. But they told me it floods. I said, great. I come from the flood town, whatever. So they're like, oh, this is great. And I'm thinking, like, that's cool. Maybe I'll go there one day and walk around. And when I walked away, I'm like, I really came from heaven in my own mind. What? I mean, it's great. Hey, family history is wonderful. But I don't really want to be in me. I want to be in him. So the reprogramming, you know, it was cute. It's nice. I'm great. Do the thing. Get the tree. Find out where you came from. Whatever. But the bottom line is this, is that where you are spiritually is better anywhere you've ever been naturally. Stay in your spiritual family and understand this. This is what this is saying. Because when you see this, you'll pull this in. Pop that up there. Let them see that. There's it. Watch this. Observe. Right? God, inheritance package for the believer is you are to be high above the earth. That'll start changing the way you start going to Publix now, won't it? You start getting. Do you have a high above the earth mentality? You got to program your head. You start walking like you ain't arrogant. You don't be mean to people, but you get what I'm saying? You start, okay, it gets better. Go to verse 2. And what? And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. We've been here before. This is the blessing. This is what the exchange of the cross. This was, he ripped you out of darkness. We'll read Colossians 1 in a minute. He ripped you out of darkness. He gave you this. This was the exchange. This was not my idea. It's his idea. This was not your idea. It's his idea. This was not what you wanted. This is what he gave you. He got news for you. This is what he demands out of you. And here's the part that bothers me. If he hung up on the cross, you should be fighting for it in the earth. Stop living like this quiet little Christian. Start fighting in the earth. No. Man, you know what the Bible says about catching a thief? You whoop his tail and you take back what? 7 times 7. I'm going to get 1,000,000,000 times back. 7 times. You caught him. He's trying to take your stuff. Taking your healing, taking your family peace, trying to take prosperity, trying to take your sanity, trying to take everything. Tell that joker, I caught you. You ain't getting none of my stuff. Look right here. You want to see? Grant, you doing it? You want to flip up? Go to Colossians 1:13. Go to Colossians 1:13. And we're going to come back to this because you need to see this, Colossians 1:13. Just write this down. I got to go because we got time. We don't have that much. Right? Look at this. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You want to see this? You want to go to 12? Let's go to 12. Because give thanks to the Father which made us meet the bar. Because this is good. Go to 12. See it? Now read it slow. You with me? Who's with me? Come on, Relevant. Where you at? How come you ain't taking notes, bro? Where's your get on your phone? Take notes, bro. You better be. Give thanks unto the. I'm like calling people out. Give thanks unto the what? Father, which has made us what? Me, that's just a fancy word for saying what? He gave it to you. Partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He made me meet you, partaker of what? An inheritance. Ooh, who hath what? He delivered you from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That means he'd snatch you out of the kingdom of hell and put you in the kingdom of heaven. And if you in light, you can't be in darkness. So there ain't no darkness around you. This ain't no teaching you business stuff, right? Look at verse 14, because this makes total sense. Goes right along. In whom we have what? Redemption. In whom we have what? Here's that word again. Through what? His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Woohoo! You got that? Who gave us that? Jesus. Look, he even talks about him in 15. Who is the what? The invisible God. Right? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? He created everything. See it? So you got in there through what? Through what? Now go back to Deuteronomy 28 because he switched you back in. That's good to read that just to see it. And you kind of catch it for yourself. Oh, I see it now. I got you now. Now I got it on the run. And all these blessings shall come on thee. Look at verse 2. Woohoo! And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if. There's that if again. It would say if. If thou shalt hearken what? Unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And the blessing shall come on thee and overtake thee. He didn't just say he's going to bless you. He said I'm going to overtake you with them things. Whose idea was that? God's. I don't know. He should have put it in the book. He didn't want you to have it. We found it. Look at verse 3. It gets even better. You're going to be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. Blessed you shall be the fruit of your body. That's your family, man. Kids. Well, them kids ain't serving God. Well, command them to. Little jokers in left field for a little while. Don't worry about it. Go back to this scripture, which scripture will prove. I've been praying for 20 years. You got to start praying scripturally. I told God the other day, I said, send 1 billion angels. Well, he's probably got 1 billion. I don't know. I just threw it out there. Let's go. That's his problem. He can figure it out. Send 1 billion angels to go get these lost people. Psalms chapter 2 says that they are the precious fruit of the earth in my eyes. But you said, I today declare you are my son. And I pray for me and ask me to give you the heathen for your inheritance. I said, they're my inheritance. Lost people are my inheritance. Why are you not claiming the lost people? You know that? Oh, I'll show you in a minute. I'll show you that scripture before we go. You know, so that you have an inheritance of lost people that are on your tab, you better start claiming them, man. What's going to happen when this whole church starts claiming it every week? We're going to start saying it every week. We'll start saying it every week. We'll put it up there. We're going. That's what we're praying for. Before we leave, I'll tell PL. PL, from now on, we're going to put Psalms chapter 2 before you take the altar call, and you're going to start saying it. And we're going to start decreeing it. And we're going to get so scripture around here, your head's going to spin. Because we're going to get them in here, newbies, right in the middle. I don't care how they get here. We'll help them. But we're going to get so scriptural. I'm going to show you how to do all this stuff. I got scriptural evidence. You know why? The Bible says in Psalms, it says Psalms 103, it says angels hearken unto the voice of the word of God. They listen to it. And they go on assignment to go to work. Did you know that? See, I get over in the spirit. I start talking like this. Yeah, because what do you want me to be around here natural for? It'd be better when I'm shot out. Look at Psalms 2:7. Look at Psalm. This is our new confession. We need a slide of this, Lauren, every week. Put 2 and 7 and 8 on in one slide and let me say, I would declare the decree. What's that you're decreeing? You're gonna become so scriptural, you gotta have evidence, scriptural evidence for everything in your life. You hear me? I'm believing. If you ain't got no evidence, you ain't believing nothing. You're just mental assenting. You know what mental assent means? You just agree like, oh, God can do it. No, God can do it for you. You got to have evidence. 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 You got to have evidence. Fred Price been saying that for 30 years, bro. I never caught it until I listened. I said, he just saying evidence? Can you see evidence? I thought it was just a catchy song. I like Fred. Fred's cool. He's an OG. You know what I mean? Fred ain't no joke. He's deep. Look right here. Where'd that thing go? There it is. I will declare the decree that thou hast said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. You know Jesus quoted that in the New Testament? You're the son of God. You're the son of God. You're the daughter of God. You're the same. Look at verse 8. Ask of me. There they are. Ask of who? God. And I shall give. I say, God, give me my inheritance of souls. And then I tell the devil, take your hands off him, you joker. You're trying to steal them, keep them blind. You got to thank God every day. Look at this. I should give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. What? He said he'll give me the lost people for my inheritance. They don't belong to the devil, lost people. They belong to the church. They belong to you. Well, who do you think you are? I think I'm Jesus. Who do you think you are? That's what you're supposed to think. Oh, I got a question for you. How in the heaven could he even say this if he didn't make you one with him? Oh, now the lost people are mine? No, the lost people are his, but because you're his, they're ours. Are you getting the terminology all the time? It's always got you bigger than you think about you. And what? And, oh, for thine in the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. There you go. That'll play. And the uttermost parts for whose possession? Yours. Whose idea was that? God. Man, your lost loved ones, you know, your family members that you've been grieving about, like, man, these jokers got to get saved. You go home and you pull that scripture out, you slap it on a little index card in the house, you put it on a refrigerator, walk by and say, devil, I bind you, I break your power. You can't keep them people blind no more. I command angels to go and wake them up. I don't care if you got to arrest them, get them, because you can't have them. They're my inheritance. This is the church. This is what we're supposed to be doing. I'm claiming my inheritance. You got stuff all over the place. We're leaving it behind. You know why? Because we're just leaving it there. We don't know what we're doing. We got to get on this thing. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. Well, I don't know if that's going to work. It's going to work for me because I'm not going to shut up till I see it. And okay, let me ask you a question. You think Jesus wants people to get saved? You think he does? But then who's the only person stopping these people from getting saved? The devil. He wants to keep him blind. He's the God of this world. He keeps him blind and deceived. Who's got dominion over the enemy? Church is too quiet. You sitting over there like a quiet little Christian. Be a quiet little Christian. I don't want to say nothing. I'm not going to say it. I'm speaking to everything. Everything in that house you start speaking to. It. Stuff that you start speaking to. You know what I'm saying? Like something don't look right. Man, no, that ain't going to happen. I bind that in Jesus' name. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I bind that in Jesus' name. I loose that in Jesus' name. Angel, you sit there like a Rolodex. According to Hebrews chapter 1:14, angels are ministering spirits for me. You go get the work right now. You go sell the houses right now. You go bring me the houses. You bring me the deals. You bring me the money. Wake somebody up and tell them to bless me today. Ain't nothing wrong. You ain't tell you go outside the house. Thank you very much. You ain't telling nobody nothing. Stuff will just start pop. Well, I don't see it. Faith works by what you see. Give me a break. It don't work by what you see. It doesn't look like it's working. Well, guess what? God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of God he need to repent about anything. And did he not say it? He will do it. Stop living in your sense realm and start living in the God realm. It didn't happen yet. I don't care. I will wear that devil out. You got to wear that joker out. You got to wear it. You want to know why? Because he don't. What if it don't look like it's working? He's God. It's got to work. It's got to work. Don't you get to that spot where you think, well, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm not doing something right. That's where everybody quits. I don't think I'm doing something right. Well, I confess the word for a little bit. No, you want to know why? That joker tries to wear you out, make you think it's not working. He's deceptive, man. Whoever told you the devil was dumb was lying. That joker ain't dumb. He's slick. I'm not giving him no credit, but he's slick. Well, you've been doing this for 4 months. I don't care. Do it for 4 years if you got it. Just keep saying, man, it's got to work. You see the pull? Let's look at Deuteronomy 28 because we got to go. You liking this Deuteronomy 28? Now you got to do more talking. When's the last time you bound the devil? I'll bind you. Out loud. You got dominion, man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Pastor Chris, you're a little weird. I ain't weird. I'm telling you what to do. You got to follow instruction. You understand that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because he'll try to play in between your ears, make you think something about yourself some sort of way. I bind that. Oh, don't worry. He'll know. He'll know. You punch him in the head, he'll know. You don't physically hit him. You word hit him. You know what I'm saying? You ever just had a bad day? Mental thoughts and stuff's going wrong and stuff's goofy or you goes goofy and you're just like, man, what's going on? Just don't feel like things are right. Man. Praise the Lord. I bind this day. I bind this mess. Some ain't right here. I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I got the joy of the Lord as my strength. You know, somebody was sick the other day. Something was going on. I don't remember where I was. I was like, you can't be sick no more. You're allowed to be sick in Jesus' name. Looking at you like, whatever. You know, that guy came. The one guy came. He was supposed to die. The guy came a couple weeks ago. I don't know. What were we having? A special meeting. Some kind of meeting. Bob showed up. Went to the hospital. He was laid up in there, and he was like the worst COVID patient they had. Yeah, it was the worst one. He was closed. He was in a coma or something. Was he in a coma? Liz, was that guy in a coma? I don't know. I went in there today. We were fasting, right? I went in there. I said, he's waking up. In the elevator, I was like, he's waking up today. Yeah, I was serious. I was fixed on it. I was going to throw him against the wall or something crazy. I don't care. I had one of those days. No, he's opening. He's going to open his eyes. He's bugging me. Got there. You're going to tell you all this stuff. 90% going to die. I got mad. You're going to die? You're going to die on my watch? She was in there. I was like, open your eyes. You hear me in there? Joker opened his eyes, man. I was a little shocked when it happened, to tell you the truth. I was like, whoa, he's awake. She's like, he opened his eyes. I go, he sure did. Like, I was good at it, you know, Jeff? Like, I knew what I was doing. You got to act cool sometimes. Like, you know, you got to act like you believe this stuff's going to work, man. You can't be that, oh, let's give it a shot. Well, I don't know, brother. We'll try. I'm not busting. I'm not trying to be, like, tough on you, but go for it, man. Go for it. What was going to happen if he didn't open his eyes? He's going to stay the way he was. What do we got to lose? You ain't supposed to be here. You're here now. I mean, what? So if he goes to heaven, let him go to heaven. He's in glory. You know what I'm saying? Why are you living this limited life on a run from all this mess? Running no more. I'm a fill call of God on my life. I'm a fill call of God in my life. My kids are going to fulfill the call of God on their life. My grandkids are going to fulfill the call of God on their life. My great-grandkids are going to fulfill the call of God. They're going to say, they can look back and say, Grandpa and Grandma were wild, buck wild in God. And that's why the whole family's jacked up for Jesus. Good. Good. You know what I'm saying? They think you're weird right now. Remember when you brought tongues home and all the kids were looking at you like, my dad's crazy. Yeah. They were looking at me. I told Lauren when she used to go to school. I said, Lauren, just go in school and pray in tongues at lunch. I don't care. If you get in trouble, I'll come bail you out of the principal's office. I lived in the principal's office. Don't worry about it. She's like, I don't think I'm going to do that. I said, just if you ever feel like whipping it, just whip it. Go for it. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because they got to learn how to win the way you know how to win. You know what I'm saying? Don't you hold this stuff back. Yeah, they think we're all weird at first. I thought this was weird at first. Look at this Deuteronomy 28. We're done. You gotta see this, man. This is what he get. This is why it's Good Friday. The blessing came on your life. Don't live beneath the blessing. If you live in any love, that's what tonight I kind of agitated you not to live beneath the blessing. I went to go see that. What's that thing? The cross, crucifixion of Christ, whatever the thing. Mel Gibson. What was that thing? Yeah, I went to go see that. I got so mad in that movie theater, people crying. I did not cry. I was mad as a hornet. Yeah, I went to go see it. You ever see it? Mel Gibson thing, Passion. You know, you see it. Did you watch it? If you didn't see The Passion of Christ, go watch it. The Mel Gibson one. I don't know. And is it biblical? It's biblical enough. I'm watching Jesus go through all this. I'm leaving the movie. I was mad. Oh, my God, John, I was so mad. People crying. Cry. Great. Cry. I was so ticked off, Paul. I was like, I was mad. And then he's like, why are you mad? He went through all this, and I'm over here living like this? What is wrong with me? He took this on him, and I'm not telling everybody. I'm not. I should be laying hands on people every day I get up. He put sick on him, so sick don't. You know you're the cure for mankind. You know these people that are half out of their mind, you're their hope. You know these people that are dying, you're their hope. You know these people in a mental institution that lost their stinking mind, you're their hope. You know the guy that right now feels like jumping off a bridge because he doesn't know how to live with himself. You're his hope, and we're standing here waiting to do it. Well, maybe Jesus can. My God in heaven, will you stop waiting and start doing something? If he took it on him on the cross, we don't have to take it on us in the church and the world. You know what the good news is? The blind man don't have to be blind no more. The broke guy don't got to be broke no more. The sick guy don't got to be sick no more. The oppressed person don't have to be oppressed no more. And he came and said, what? You go be it, and you go do it. Look at this last part. Watch this. It shall come to pass, thou hearken diligently. Look at verse 3. You will be blessed everywhere you go. Look at verse 4. It gets better. Blessed be the fruit. Everything's going to increase. Everything's going to be great. Look at verse 5. Blessed basket store. That's your bank account. 6. Blessed thou shalt be when thou comes, and blessed you shall be when you go. Look at verse 7. Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before you. See, I'm going to crush your enemy. They shall come against thee one way, but they got to flee 7 ways. Look at verse 8, last one. And you're going to come take communion, right? Hello? Lord, I was talking to PL. You guys are all right. The Lord shall what? Command the blessing upon thee in the storehouse and in all that thy sendest thy hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gave. Prosperous, man. The Lord shall command. You know when God commands something, you can't stop it. Watch this. You want to know when it starts? The moment you get a revelation of it and expect it. Expect the blessing. The minute you expect it, leave that, pop that up there one more time. Let them see that last part. Let me show you how this works, because when you read that, you don't get that right away. The Lord shall command the blessing by it. Well, I don't look like he'd be commanding nothing on me. You got to get a revelation of the blessing and go, I'm blessed, man. And now that I know who I am, he will enforce that thing in your life. It'll track you down and overtake you. We don't have a revelation of it. You'll live without it. The minute you get a revelation of it, he'll empower it. And now what? And all that you set thine hand, you know what that means? Whatever you put these hands to go do, God said, I'll bless it and prosper it. You be sitting here going, I don't even know if I know what I'm doing. Y'all don't even care if you know what you're doing. Bottom line is this, man. As long as you got a revelation of blessing, God will show you what to do with these hands. He said, these things are blessed. Look at your hands. Say, I'm a blessed hand. Yeah, you understand me? I'm blessed. Come on. He said, look, and whatever you put your hand to, and you'll be blessed in the land which the Lord thy God give it thee. Then he said, what? He said, I'm going to give you the land. And when you get there, you're going to be blessed. The land's blessed because your feet's on it. You better look up and see, for as far as your eyes can see, God will give you. You got to understand this stuff. That's the blessing. So we'll talk more about the blessing as we go on. But that's what the cross was all about. He took upon him the what? The curse. Now, the greatest thing of all was what? We all get to go to heaven. But why would God leave us on earth to struggle? He don't want you struggling there. He came to give you the blessing for earth and supernatural life in heaven. That's a good Friday. It's a great Friday, to tell you the truth. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's better than good is great. You know what I mean? I feel like Tony the Tiger. They're great. Come on. He's great, ain't he? He's too good, man. You thought it was good. It's great. Blessed wherever you go. Why is that? Now, here's my thing. This is what I'm saying. You're not asking for something he did not want to give you. And here's the greatest thing that I think I could tell you, and I'm done. Not only did he want to give it to you, he paid the price for you. Have it. That's the problem that bothered me. Why would I leave something on the table if he paid the price for me to have it? We should be trying harder. I'm not saying that in a weird way. Hear what I'm saying. We should be trying harder to do what we need to do in the kingdom, because he already set it up for us. Not that it works, but it's like, imagine if you just went and grinded and you set it up for somebody and they're like, nah, I'm not going to go get it. Nah, man. He went through all that to give you the next best life you could possibly live. Take it, it's yours. Amen? Come on, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these guys. I thank you that they came to church on a Friday. Thank you for everybody watching online. Thank you, Lord, for blessing and keeping them. And I thank you, Lord, they're never going to be the same again because of who you are and what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for taking their life to a supernatural level in blessing. And thank you for what you've done in Good Friday, redeeming us from the curse. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Relevant Live with Pastor Chris Sarnum. If you are interested in learning more about Relevant Church, you can visit us at relevantfl.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel to hear more messages like this one every single week. Thanks for listening.